morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Today is Friday, and later in the program, Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, it is my great pleasure to welcome playwright and screenwriter Israel Horovitz. He is putting on a staged reading of his one-act plays, Six Hotels, which will take place tomorrow, Saturday, June 28th at 2 o'clock and again at 7 in the evening. And Kelly Holm is here with us. She is the manager of the Greer Garson Theater Company, and the Greer Garson on the campus of the College of Santa Fe is where all this is taking place. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I read your plays yesterday, the six hotels, and I'm
I heard that somebody did, yeah.
Well, one usually, I mean, I either go to a rehearsal or I see the play, and to read them is a whole different experience and gives one, I don't know, that's sort of a different set of questions, but I mean, it's like short stories, these short plays. What is the draw or the magic of writing one-act plays?
Well, first of all, as a kid, I loved reading short stories, and I still love reading short stories. For me, short plays somehow come quite naturally. I had a play years ago called Indian Wants the Bronx that with Al Pacino that did very well, and then another play of mine, Line, is a short play, and it's been running in New York for 35 years, and it ran in Paris for 11 years. And so maybe my affinity for short plays comes from the fact that they've been good to me, so they love me, I love them. But there's also a very practical matter of when you write a short play, it's almost instant gratification. You can grab some actors, put it on. It's not, it doesn't seem like a big deal to do. And with a long play, you have to find a producer. And these days, $2 million to get the play on in New York. But last year, I did a show in New York called Israel Horovitz's New Shorts. And I worked with a theater group called the Barefoot Theater Company. And mostly it was to explore that sort of evening, and it really worked well. We really enjoyed it. We found an audience, and I thought more seriously about refining an evening, and Six Hotels came out of that. I took three of the nine plays, Beirut Rocks, the audition play, and the hotel play. They worked particularly well, and then I wrote three new plays. One's called Fiddleheads and Lovers. One's called Help Me, Kelly.
The audition play.
The audition.
Well, that was in before Second Violin.
And Second Violin.
Speaking of Tushy.
Speaking of Tushy. And those three are brand new plays, and all six plays are set in hotels. And the operative concept right now is when we do the show commercially in New York to actually do it site specifically in a hotel and have the audience go from room to room, and the play will be taking place in a different room on the same floor.
In an actual hotel?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I'm talking to a couple of hotel owners now, and they're intrigued by the idea. Obviously, it would get some publicity for them. So this is the third year that I've come to the Garson Theater Festival. I came out here 3 years ago, kind of tentatively. I got an invitation from Peter Zapp, and Tom Saltzman was then running the program at the college, and they said, would you like to bring a new play out? We have this festival. And I thought, well, I don't know. You know, Santa Fe in June, it's going to be hot. And I saw the Coen brothers on the street, and I live in the Village in New York, and like, what are you doing? And they said, oh, we're coming out to Santa Fe to work on a movie. So I said, really? Because I just had this invitation. Where are you going to do it? And it ended up that they were shooting part of the movie right on the campus of the College of Santa Fe. So
suddenly it was good enough for you.
Suddenly everybody was doing it. So off I came, and I tell you, I just fell in love with Santa Fe, and I just love this festival. It's amazingly useful for working playwright.
How's it useful?
Well, first of all, the format of the play is unique in that you rehearse, you have costumes, you have scenery, you have all of the trappings of a full production, but the actors carry scripts in hand. So they never really have to commit lines to memory. In fact, it's a really bad idea to do it. They're tremendously familiar with the lines, but you don't need 3 weeks of memorizing lines. But for the playwright, I can change a line 2 seconds before the actor goes on stage. I can say, hey, Joaquin, try this. And by God, he has to do it because he just writes it in his little script and goes on and he tries it. So I can really experiment with the plays and really develop a play, both in the week of rehearsal and in front of the audience. And I do a talk back with the audience, and I get, you know, I just say, where'd you get bored? What did you like? What didn't you like? What do you think the play was about? And there are some people who love to hear themselves talk, and they'll talk, but there are some people who are really moved by a play and they're reticent, but they'll tell you. They'll say, gee, that really moved me. It reminded me of this or that. And you start to find out where the energy is in the play, whether you should throw the damn thing away or keep going.
Did you ever find that there's one that you just threw away after going through that kind of process?
Not yet.
Okay.
But maybe I should have. But the two plays prior to this year that I brought to Garson changed, I would say, significantly after the process here. That they definitely improved. I run, I play golf, and I work with wonderful actors. And
now, the actors are all local? They're all Santa Fe?
No, they're not. There's one local actor in this production, Rod.
Rod Harrison.
Oh, great.
And Joaquin Torres is a...
From New York.
Is a hotshot New York actor. I saw Jane May as a wonderful actress, and I went out to Olympia, Washington to work on something, and I went to see a production of Shining City, and she was in it, and she was great, and she has a... She can do both comedy and tragedy equally well, and she tap dances and
there's a tap dancing
exactly
play in here.
And so I said, would you have any interest in going out to Santa Fe for a week? Nobody says no. Nobody says no,
yeah,
to that. And then Mariana Bossom is a Boston actress, and I'm from Boston, and I originally, but I have a summer house up in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And I founded my own theater there, the Gloucester Stage Company, 29 years ago. It's hard to believe I did anything 29 years ago except drink mother's milk, but I did that. And so she's a regular actress up there, and she's really one of the good ones. And she has family in Taos, and Joaquin has a mother in Santa Fe, and that was kind of a consideration because I knew that they would really love to come out and visit family. And
so you bring all these folks with you, pretty much one or two actors that you use locally, and then you've got costumes and scenery, but it's a stage reading, so are they just sitting in chairs?
Oh, not at all. When you sit in the audience, for the first minute you'll notice that they're carrying scripts. In the second minute, you completely forget about it, and you feel like you're watching a play. There are occasional moments when there's like a very passionate kiss and the script is somehow in the way, but the actors in the rehearsal learn to put the script down, do the kiss, pick the script up again. A lot of kissing in these plays, by
right.
the way.
A lot of young people in these plays. Almost everybody is in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I have five kids My youngest kids, one just graduated from Vassar last year, and her twin just graduated from Harvard. He's a filmmaker and a golfer.
And one of your children is a Beastie Boy.
Adam, my middle son, is one of the Beastie Boys, and my big daughter, Rachel, is a film producer. She produced About Schmidt and Besieged and lots of movies. Sorry, hit the microphone. And my big son, Matthew, is a producer-director with the Food Network.
And so the youthful energy of your family influences your plays?
It's not unnatural or a problem for me to write about young people or older people.
One thing that I was really noticing and thinking about while reading them is the dialogue, the speech mannerisms is very realistic. It's very true to life. The setups are theatrical, which is almost by definition not really true to life. It's like a distillation. How would you describe that process of taking these situations and making them into short theater?
Well, nothing in life is really stage-worthy per se.
Right.
You know, we think it is. We think, we really had this great experience. But actually, if you videotaped it or tape recorded it moment to moment, life moves fairly slowly. So I think all of art kind of telescopes and compresses life into a theatrical image, if it's a painting, or a serene image, if it's a painting, but a single image. And a play really has or a movie has the responsibility of finding theatrical imagery. So for me, I love theater. I write films as well, but my heart is really in theater. A stage image, or, you know, a kind of what you might call a setup for a play is a joy to me. You know, I just, like, I can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start a play with that image. And then it sort of sits on the back of the hard disk somewhere until I find life that fits it. And then I've always had this ear, we say, you know, for dialogue and interest in regional speech, and I love to hear uneducated people wrestle with deeply philosophical problems, or overeducated people wrestle with real life, you know.
There's a funny moment where you have to have an actor who can do a Boston accent trying badly to imitate a deep South accent.
Yes, and then he's auditioning an actress who has a Queens accent
trying to.
And the director has a Boston accent,
right.
And it's very funny in rehearsal because neither one of them know. They're learning the accents like crazy.
It's tricky to do. I was once in Texas and met a bunch of people from India who spoke with an Indian and Texan combination accent. It's devilishly difficult to imitate.
I once did a play called Primary English Class, and it was an English class for people who didn't speak English, and nobody in the class had a common language. They only spoke their own language. Diane Keaton actually played the teacher. And a translation comes over a loudspeaker, and that was quite a successful play. It was really, really, really hilarious. But it was hilarious in rehearsal last night because I was teaching Joaquin my Boston accent, so you say Boston, Boston. And then I was teaching Jane to say the New York accent, and you say Boston. And so she's saying Boston, he's saying Boston. And somebody from Santa Fe wouldn't know what either one was saying.
Right. We're talking to Israel Horovitz, and his one-act plays Six Hotels will be performed tomorrow in a staged reading at 2 and 7 o'clock at the Greer Garson Theater on the campus of the College of Santa Fe. There's a stunning, riveting play. I mean, even just reading it, I was blown away, called Beirut Rocks. Can you, without giving it away, can you set up that play for us?
I can, and it was that was really wrenched from our lives. My son was a student. Of course, the Israeli attacks on Beirut were in the summer of, I guess, July 07. And coincidentally, the British Open was on television. My son and I are both addicted golfers. And so we were watching the British Open, and his roommate at Harvard, Jake, was a student at American, a summer student at American University of Beirut. And he was trapped along with a couple of hundred other American students in a hotel waiting to be evacuated while bombs were falling all around. So that on this particular day, Oliver and I were flipping channels back and forth from war coverage with somebody who could be said to be Oliver's absolute closest friend in life, and watching Tiger Woods win the British Open, which was in no way equally important to us, but it was somehow important to us. And the irony of the contrasting realities wasn't lost on either one of us at all. I mean, we were scared stiff for Jake, and somehow worried about Tiger Woods' putt. And I mean, that's life. And I got a phone call literally the next day from the Cherry Lane Theater, completely unrelated, saying, "We're doing this evening called Middle East in Pieces. Would you write a one-act, have any interest in writing a one-act play for it? There are going to be six or seven." And I said, "Are you kidding?" "Yeah." And they, "Oh, what will you write about?" I said, "Just wait. It was supposed to be a 10-minute play, and it turned out to be like 25 minutes. And they read it, and they said, it's okay, we'll do it. And it was from the first moment. I mean, the kind of plot of the play is invented. It didn't happen that way, although the Harvard students were evacuated before any of the other students, by the way.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying. And it was horrifying to Jake, because he had to say, well, I won't go or I will go. I'll stay and die, or I'll go.
I'll go because I'm Harvard. Yeah.
Everybody was in the throes of, everybody had a reason. But, I mean, the American kids were being bailed out because of insurance, you know, and it's very complex. And it's, I think it's a wonderful play. I think it's really one of my best plays. And it was, we did it in the Israel Horovitz's New Shorts evening, and that play was singled out and nominated for several awards and won a bunch of awards, and then it was taken for the EST Theater Marathon, and it's only since 07, and it's translated already into about 20 languages around the world. So I know I've got a good one, and I want to bring back The Indian Wants the Bronx commercially with Beirut Rocks as its partner play, and sort of have what it was like what racism was like in 1968, and what it's like now, which is kind of similar. So that play is set in a hotel. And so for that reason, kind of fits this evening. It's pretty funny as it goes until it's not funny, and then it's horrifying. But the kids, as you say, the dialogue of the play is very, I think, well observed and
true, very much true to life. I mean, one felt this is really the way people talk in that age group, this play and the other plays in it. And also, I mean, I think for most of us, our relationship with what's going on in the Middle East is newspapers and the news, and that is a type of English that through which you see it, and this is a very different way of seeing it. It's all the ironies, all the personal details of one's mundane life are there, and then the truth comes out in people's stories.
Well, and it was important to me to write a play about the Middle East that didn't take sides, you know, that didn't conclude anything except what a mess it is, because
right.
there are no bad guys in the play. In fact, there are four American college students in the play, but you start to see how violence escalates, and maybe you could see it metaphorically as how a war happens.
Very much so. The your plays are produced a lot in France.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering about that, because I was you're one of the most produced American playwrights in France. Is that you've made a lot of personal relationships there? Is there something about your work that appeals to French sensibilities?
Well, and usually when I'm asked that, I say in a former life I was an escargot, adored by the French. I mean, it's a great mystery, but again, it's that thing, you love me, I love you. And I'm in 68, I took Indian Wants the Bronx to the Spoleto Festival, and by invitation, and a Swiss-French actress came up to me at the festival and said, would you like to meet Samuel Beckett, because he'd like to meet you. And when my heart started beating again, I said yeah, and I went to Paris and I met him, and as soon as I saw Paris, I just fell in love with Paris. It's a really beautiful city, and I didn't speak French, and I met Beckett, and he was, I think we have our fathers of chance and our fathers of choice, and he was definitely my father of choice. So I started going to Paris to be with him, and also my play line ran for 11 years, and it didn't make me rich, but it gave me enough money to go back and forth when I wanted to go back and forth. And then Indian Wants the Bronx opened, and Morning opened, and in the years, you know, I've had something like 50 plays done in French, and I've directed a bunch of my plays in French, and I've learned to speak French, and I sort of have a life there. But why it all happened, I mean, it's the mystery of my life. The plays are done. My plays are done. I'm a very lucky boy, and they're done in pretty much around the world, but I really like France, and And so that's where you got to make a choice. Go be somewhere.
Right. And you're based in New York.
Yeah. I have to say that I think Santa Fe is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
It's a wonderful place, and it's a place where there's continual discussion about how good or not good of a theater scene we have here. So it's a delight to have
well,
you.
That's a great segue into my saying this to your listeners. The Little Theater Festival that I'm part of over at the college right now is something that you really, really should support. Its tickets cost nothing. I mean, they're $10 or something like that. And there's an opportunity to see new work and to comment and to participate and react. But most importantly, give support to something that's really homegrown here. And it's important. It's important to develop writers and actors and theater people in this community who can write about life in this community.
Exactly.
And that comes next.
Kelly Holm has been sitting very quietly, and she is a student at the College of Santa Fe. She's the company manager of the Greer Garson Theater Company. What's it like for you going through all of this? Have you been a theater person throughout your childhood?
I was a theater person throughout my childhood, but it's really cool to get to work with professionals, and you learn a lot because they let you ask as many questions as you want, which I find really helpful because I like to ask questions. And you just get to see how people work and how it really is, because there's how you do it at school and in that safe learning environment, and then there's delving in and really getting to work with people, and you learn different people's attitudes and different people's working styles, and you really have to adapt to each different person, and it's really a learning experience.
Have you been on the acting side of it as well as the management?
Not for this season. In school, I do study acting, but I've been purely management this summer, which is also a different experience, and you really learn how you have to treat people and how different people respond to you, which will really help when I get into that acting side, because I know how to respond and how to act.
Are you from here?
No, I'm actually from Washington.
D.C.?
No, Washington
State. And which way do you want to go, or have you not decided yet?
I kind of like doing it all, because at the College of Santa Fe, you can delve into the different departments, and you can do technical theater and acting and musical theater, and I like mixing it up and getting to do the tech side and getting to do the acting side.
I think it's remarkably important to mix professional people with students. It's so obvious when it happens, because the first thing that happens is the kids see that it's possible. They meet the actors in my show or me, and they say, well, they're nothing special. I can do that. You know, they're people. And so that wall breaks down. And then the actual exchange, the kids will ask a question, and the group of kids at the school are remarkably poised. Kelly's just been talking. She's 18 years old. When I was 18, I didn't sound like that.
When you were 18, did you have mentors? Did you have an opportunity to do things like that?
I didn't. I wrote a novel when I was... It's a family gene. All of my kids...
This writing thing.
It's starting very, very... I wrote a novel when I was 13, and I failed to sell it. It was rejected by a publisher. I got a letter rejecting it, praising it for its wonderful childlike quality, because the guy didn't know I was 13. And I thought, okay, I failed as a novelist, so I wrote a play. Somebody put it on. I acted in it with a friend, and nobody said it's a good play, but everybody said it's a play. So I said, okay, I wrote a play. I'm a playwright. That's who I am. And I have to say that, you know, I'm 69 years old now, and I'm more excited about writing plays now than ever. It's not golf. You absolutely get better at your game. But I did very early on have mentors like Beckett. When I was in my 20s, and Thornton Wilder and the French writers were particularly Anouilh, Ionesco, they were very, very welcoming. And Jean Anouilh actually gave me 3 rooms in his house, because my first wife had died and I was raising 3 little kids of my own. And he said to me, look, I've got these rooms in my grenier, in my attic, and they're empty. And so when you come to Paris, those will be your rooms. So I had a play running that could get me over there, and I had a place to stay. And suddenly I had a life there.
And on that note, we're going to have to go. It's a little after 8:30. Israel Horovitz is an award-winning playwright and screenwriter, and he's written and is directing a stage reading of his one-act play, Six Hotels, tomorrow, Saturday, June 28th, at 2 and 7 o'clock in the evening at the College of Santa Fe, Greer Garson Theater. The telephone number for tickets is 473-6511. Mm-hmm. And we've also been joined by Kelly Holm, who's the company manager for the Greer Garson Theater Company. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Positiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's here with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, hi.
Hi there. Here's the crowd behind me. Robert Knott, he's great. Yeah, that's a good...
Now, they were talking about Israel Horovitz.
They certainly were. It's a really fun play, Six Hotels. We'll plug it again near the end of the show for those who just
tuned in. No, it's absolutely terrific. I mean, it's as I said during the conversation with him, I usually don't read the plays. I usually go to rehearsal,
right,
no matter what state of disrepair the rehearsal is in. And reading them is a whole different experience.
You get to see
how well-crafted they are.
Yeah, and his is. It's a really wonderful piece. 2 and 7 o'clock tomorrow, College of Santa Fe, 473-6511. And he was much more pleasant, and sorry to do this to you, than that woman you interviewed a week ago before I came out. And I know you don't want to say anything about her, but she was really rude. And some people wish that I had said something about it last week, and I should have. You don't have to say anything because you are full of grace. I have no grace. You have class. I have the minus the CL. I got the rest of it. Listen.
No, I didn't know. I didn't. I was flabbergasted. I just simply didn't know what to do. But I got, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your support. All these people wrote me these enraged letters. It was very funny and very gratifying.
She should be thankful to get coverage.
But the thing is, it was a great book. She's brilliant and a great writer. So
well,
it was unfortunate.
Israel Horovitz is brilliant.
He's a great writer.
He treated you as a human being and professional. And he's, yes, I know. Hey, before we talk about arts, today is the deadline. If you have a family member or friend in the military, and I'm a veteran, so I like to plug this stuff. The New Mexicans pay an homage to those who serve or have served with a photo display on the 4th of July. Today's the deadline if you want to do this. I know I can't mention prices on the air, but for 25 words, it's not that expensive. You send in a photo and you get 25 words to say something about your loved ones. Pick up Positiempo. Look at page 94. There's an ad. And see if you know somebody in the military and you want to pay tribute to them, because I always like to honor the military, even if we don't agree with the way politicians use them. Having said that, it's arts time in Santa Fe at June 27th. There's all sorts of things occurring. If you pick up the Positiempo, it is just rife with opera stuff, because the opera opens this weekend.
I'm going to the opera tomorrow night.
I am too.
You are?
I'm going to Figaro.
Yeah, me too. I'll see you there.
I'm
going
to look at the subtitles because I can't make heads or tails out of Italian.
Well, nobody can. They say they
Italians
can.
Italians can. It's like those Japanese
horror
movies.
I can't even understand them when they're in English.
But they should do what they do with the Godzilla movies, where it's pretty simple. Like, here comes Godzilla, run! If they did that, then everybody would go to the opera.
Well, they do. That's the point.
Well, they don't do it on stage. You have to read the... you know what I do is I read the guys in front of me, his little caption box. Because I can lean back in my chair and see the guy in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And that's easier to read. Plus, it looks like I'm watching the opera, so people don't know what I'm doing.
I don't think anyone's really watching you, Robert.
Well, right now, look around. Look at this crowd right now, this collection of...
As I said.
Men and women. There's not one looking at me. Hello? Hello over there?
I am.
Yeah, you.
Do I count for nothing?
No, you count for plenty. And what a figure when you talk about counting. Hey, here we go. Artistas de Santa Fe, 228B, Old Santa Fe Trail. Polarities, paintings by Marianne Hornbuckle. Tonight, 5 to 7 p.m. through July 15th. Backstreet Bistro, across the street on Camino de las Marques, off... Coronado? Is that it? Corona? What's the name of the street?
Cordova.
They've got Lenore Kleeman, non-objective colorist, paintings through September 5th. I like the sandwiches over there. No, I don't get anything for free. Discover Delgado, 4th Friday Art Walk. If you're going up Canyon Road, Delgado Street off Canyon Road, has a number of galleries that all open the same time and they do a 5 to 8 reception. And this is the night. So you can check out discoverdelgado.com for information, or you can just walk up to Delgado Street and see what's happening. Gerald Peters Gallery, 1011 Paseo de Peralta, has From Woods and Shores, sculpture by Tony Angel, A-N-G-E-L-L, paintings by Ewald de Groot. I apologize if I mispronounce names. That is never on purpose. I really have trouble with a lot of words. Reception 5 to 7. The show runs through July 26th. Photo show, go over to Photo Eye Gallery and see Domestic Vacations. This isn't about taking your spouse or your sibling on a vacation. It's photos and book signing by Julie Blackman. Really interesting stuff. Talks about being sort of a visual playwright. Really nice piece in today's Positempo by freelancer Kim Russo, who's a really smart writer. They also have paintings by Jim Pitts. The reception includes a performance by Brazilian bassist Andre Jennings and the Santa Fe Jazz Quartet. Tonight, reception runs through August 30th. And I got to mention, of course, because I was there last night, Warehouse 21's reopening.
Yay!
Yeah, and today they start with a group show of mixed media work in the Flying Cow Gallery. And then they have a digital video exhibit. They have receptions from 4 to 10. They're going to have experimental audio-video performance by Noise Fold. They're going to have their inaugural concert tonight in the Art Center's new digs with such groups as Peach Cake, The Cherry Tempo. Huh, must be all fruit people. Jake Trujillo, Crimson Eclipse, Random Order. 4 to midnight tonight, no charge. It's opening night. It's right on the railroad tracks next to Site Santa Fe, 1614 Paseo de Peralta. The new digs look great. I went there. Chris Jonas, congratulations. He's the new program director there. They made a brilliant choice. He's a wonderful guy, and I'm really excited about what they're going to do. And fair disclosure, I hope to volunteer there sometime, so I don't ever want to overpromote them, but I think the world of Warehouse 21. The Fantastics. Devin Frieder, I co-directed her in a play like 8 years ago. We did Sleepy Hollows. Really bright kid. She's back. She's a young college student, and she's directing, choreographing, and producing the musical written by Tom Jones, who we all know from It's Not Unusual for My Pants to Split in Half, and Harvey Schmidt, who we know from not the same song. 7:30 p.m., Rio Grande School Auditorium on Camino Cabra. Got to pay to get in. It's donation. Not too expensive. 983-1621. And finally, along these lines, before I take a breather, tonight and tomorrow is Mike Daisy, the performance artist.
Yes, I'm going tonight. We had him on the show this week.
I'm going tonight as well.
Brilliant, interesting. It sounds like a great performance. And like the Israel Horovitz plays, it's a chance to see something under construction.
Correct.
And possibly to comment on it as well.
And like Israel, he was a very polite, professional interview. He's not a jerk like some people. So that's tonight at 7:30. You got to pay to get in. Call 988-1234.
Hey, the Santa Fe Desert Corral summer season is opening. I guess it just opened yesterday, and it's music of the United States, England, Scandinavia, and Spain. And the season, there's a performance called Glorious Voices, Sacred Spaces, led by Simon Carrington, founder of the world-renowned King Singers at the Cathedral of the Basilica of St. Francis on July 1st, 7th, and 10th. Full concert listings at desertcorral.org. Tickets 988-1234.
King of New Mexico, the Santa Fe Boys and Girls Club, hosts a one-on-one B-boy, B-girl breaking battle and an 18 and under breaking battle. 8 o'clock tonight, Santa Fe Boys and Girls Club on Alto Street. You got to pay to get in. Here's the phone number. 316-6295. All of these listings are out of the Positempo calendar, put together by Pam Beach and Rob DeWalt.
Hey, how about tomorrow? Pandit Shivnath Mishra and Deobrat Mishra, classical Indian Raga concert.
What the?
That's at Body at 8 o'clock, and that's tomorrow. And then Sunday, Native American group healing with healer Dennis Rocky King from the Bear Clan of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin. And that's at 7 o'clock. And then at also from 3 to 8, also at Body. It's a big place, more than one thing going on at one time. Milonga, Argentinian Tango, social dance organized by the Santa Fe Tango Board. 986-0362 or bodyofsantafe.com.
Hey, did we ever figure out the names of all the seven dwarfs we were talking about one day?
I don't think we need to.
Well, you were listing all those Indian musicians, and it was like the seven dwarfs only in Indian. And I was like, what's these names?
Actually, it wasn't really that much like that.
I see. Well, I remember that conversation. I don't help if you don't want to keep dialogue. And people think about not talking to one another. No wonder we have such trouble on the show.
Oh, you're right. Now, you say it. Go ahead. Sneezily. Hey, Tony and Brandy, the team of Tony Buford
They're not dwarfs.
Brandy. No, they're not. Herbert will be playing blues, ballads, and jazz tunes at the Ore House tonight. Ooh. From 8 until 11.
Tony and Brandy. Remember that song, Brandy, by Looking Glass?
I do.
There's a port on the Western Bay, and it serves 100 men a day. Lonely sailors spend their time right there. They drink their whiskey and wine. The sailors say, Mary Charlotte, you are just the cutest radio gal round. You're just about my favorite DJ in this whole town.
Why are you wearing a tie today? It's unusual.
Look what kind of tie it is. It's got Bugs Bunny, Sylvester, and Tweety.
Oh, my goodness.
And Daffy Duck. It's got Tasmanian Devil. I just wanted to wear
a
Looney Tunes tie.
So it's a self-portrait.
The You see what I mean? Like, I'm on a show to just be... I started out so serious coming off Israel Horovitz, and now I get reduced to,
Buddy
Hackett.
You know it.
Charlotte Jackson Project Space on Saturday has A Flavor of Pop. It's a group show of paintings and sculpture, reception 2 to 4. They're on Mallard Way, talking about ducks.
Yes.
989-8668. There's a couple of others.
And that's way, way down off of Airport Road, I've map-quested it in order to find it.
I ain't never been there.
It's worth going. It's worth driving to that end of town, or maybe you live right around that end of town.
Okay.
It's worth checking out.
Well, it's 2 to 4 Saturday. Also, El Farol, 808 Canyon Road, Saturday, Rupture. A group show of work by New Mexico artists showcased in a soon-to-be-released limited edition book, reception 5:30 to 7:30, 989-1644. We wrote a little mixed media on it, and I'm going to try to swing by there and say hello. CCA's Munoz Waxman Gallery. They're at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Has CODICES. How do you pronounce it?
Codices.
Codices. Heliotown. That's what it's Codices : Heliotown. What's a codice?
A codex. It's the plural of codex.
Well, that's fine. I still don't know what it means, even if it's plural or singular. What does it mean?
A codex is, let's see, how would you describe it? It's an ancient document that has, it's like an ancient manuscript, but it's out of another time before regular printed books.
Well, I should know this because Paul Weideman wrote a piece about it by the artist Thomas Ashcraft in today's Positive Tempo. And the reception's 5 to 7 Saturday, CCA 1050 Old Pecos Trail, so swing on by.
Hey,
Codices is the plural of codex?
Yeah.
Is mongoose the plural of mongoose?
I do not know the answer to that.
So what if you needed like more than one mongoose from the zoo?
It's funny. I come to think of it, I've never been in the position of needing more than one mongoose.
But what would you say? Send me a mongoose and then please send me another one to avoid it embarrassing grammatical?
No, I think what you would do is you look in the dictionary and find out what it was. I can do that. Hey, on next week, Wednesday, July 2nd at 3 o'clock in the Junior Common Room at St. John's Peterson Student Center, there is a lecture, Graduate Institute Summer Lectures by St. John's Tutors, and Russell Winslow, Human Nature and Democracy in Plato's Republic. 984-6000 for more information on the St. John's.
And again, it's Opera Weekend. 9 o'clock tonight is the Falstaff. 9 o'clock tomorrow is Figaro by Mozart. My Lots of Stories in Pasta. I'm going to go up there. 986-5900 for the tickets. If you like the opera, check it out. Meanwhile, the Santa Fe Opera also has backstage tours. I've taken these and they're lots of fun. For example, there's one tomorrow at 9 a.m., so you got to get up really early and go up to the opera 7 miles north of town. Not too expensive to get in. In fact, free if you're 17 or under. 986-5900.
Hey, there's a... speaking of dogs and cats, I've gotten a lot of notices about dogs lately. There's a beautiful dog here that I'm looking at on my computer screen called Macy.
That's me.
A companion dog in need of a companion. A medium-sized spayed female, about 4 years old, mixed breed.
I don't pee.
Maybe has a little bit of lab, maybe a little bit of chow.
Hmm.
Sturdy, muscular build. She lived for 2 years with somebody's 91-year-old mother, was well-loved, a loyal, devoted companion, and she gets along fine with cats, and she's a people-loving dog. She shouldn't be left at home. If you are interested in Macy the dog, call 575-758-1776.
Macy the puppy dog, the cutest dog you saw.
That's so very true. And you know what? For those who hear the show and they say, what was that number again? If we don't repeat the number, or where you didn't have time to write it down, you can go to the podcast, which is santafe.radiocafe.org, and you can listen to Robert Knott singing, and at a certain point, the phone number will come up, and hey, there's other dogs, too. There's Vegas dogs. 6 dogs from Las Vegas, New Mexico need homes, and you can call Maureen at 426-5293. And there's short-haired dogs and cattle dogs and shepherds, and they're very nice dogs who need homes.
And be nice to your dogs. Pet them, play with them, talk to them, and, you know, don't leave them outside with no water, stuff like that. Hey, listen to this. We were talking about dogs and cats. I want to talk about donkeys, mules, and burros. You can celebrate with donkeys and mules if this appeals to you. And I've always liked donkeys, mules, and burros. At El Rancho de las Golondrinas, 334 Los Pinos Road in La Cienega. Not too expensive to get in. 471-2261. It is our living museum, living history museum. And so on Saturday, they're going to have burro races, storytelling, food, and other activities so you can celebrate with donkeys and mules and burros. That's like a burro voice if you did it.
I heard that.
Yeah, so that's fun. Meanwhile, downtown, Pride on the Plaza Parade, Grand Marshal Patty Boucher. I just finally met her. She's such a nice lady. Now she talks to me all the time when she sees me. She used to not speak to me when I never saw her.
Understand.
Anyway, there's a performance by Samba Faye, Floats and Rainbow Flags. Understandably. Parade begins at noon at the Lamy Building parking lot, Paseo de Peralta on Old Santa Fe Trail. Winds down to the plaza. There's no charge.
Hey,
it's part
Kendra-
of the Pride on the Plaza Gay Pride Festival, which takes place on the plaza, before you interject, from 10 to 6 p.m. Community booths, live music, food, everything. So downtown's going to be the place to go.
Yeah, that's a long festival this year. 10 days.
I know, they're coming to an end,
pride.
Aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's really 365 days of Pride, but 10 special days. Hey, Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary, nutrition for senior dogs, Saturday, June 28th from 9 to 1. Call 471-5366. There's a registration fee, but you can find out all about feeding your older doggies.
Willard Clark was a pretty well-known printer and printmaker here in Santa Fe. He kind of helped define Santa Fe as an artistic community. There's a book on him called Willard Clark, Printer and Printmaker. Pretty good, straightforward bio with lots of great images by David Farmer, who's going to talk about and sign copies of the book from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday at the Palace of the Governors, downtown, 105 West Palace Avenue. You do have to pay to get into the museum, and then you can attend this here talk. But remember, Sundays, New Mexico museums, most of them, if you're a New Mexico resident, free. Bring your ID, though. Don't show up and say, gee, I forgot my ID. Like, you wouldn't try to pull that, trying to get a beer over there at El Farol, so you wouldn't want to do that down there trying to get into the free book signing. On Monday, I'm going to need your help with this. Matter of fact, I think you should do this because I can't pronounce this stuff. We always want to help out the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Jung Jin Lee, and we have a brief interview with her on Monday morning on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and she is giving a lecture at Tipton Hall at 6 o'clock at the College of Santa Fe on Monday. This coming Monday, and for more information, you can call 424-5050, or you can call 456-6133. And she has a series of photographs called the Wind Series exhibit at Bellas Artes Gallery. And she's interesting because what she does is she takes an emulsion called liquid light, but it's just a photographic emulsion, and puts it on handmade paper, like rice paper, and makes these huge, huge photographs. But they're photographs, but the texture of the paper is this very beautiful handmade thing. So it's quite something.
I think we have a story on her in next Friday's Posse Tempo.
Okay.
And you're interviewing on Monday.
Correct.
Downtown Subscriptions on Garcia Street. Good place to go get coffee, I find. And Richard Sober is putting up an exhibit of his paintings starting July 1st on Tuesday. And he asked me to come up and look at them, and I will. I try my best to do that. We do get a little overwhelmed at Paso Tempo, but we're trying our best to get out there and let you know we're paying attention. So Richard Sober paintings. I haven't seen them yet, but I will go by. They open on Tuesday at Downtown Subscription.
Hey, Salon Margraf, Sunday Summer Brunch Party. Summer Sunday Brunch Party. They have amazing food out there, and they also have amazing art out there. Installations and paintings and sculptures and all sorts of things. And it's at Big Tusuki Canyon, which is a place where I have walked dogs on more than one occasion. For more information, at 955-0471.
Meanwhile, Thursday night, Ursa, 550 South Guadalupe Street, has underneath it all Munson Hunt sculpture and paintings. I wonder what that means. I wonder if it's all about unmentionables. Reception 5 to 7 p.m. The show runs through July 26th. That's also the night, and you talked a little bit earlier about the Santa Fe Desert Corral, that Viva España takes place at 8 o'clock at the Santa Fe Scottish Rite Temple. Craig Smith wrote about it in today's Paso Tempo. It's also the night that Teresa Cardenas Flamenco Productions, she's a protege of Maria Benitez, presents her original dance drama, El Pintor, which is the painter.
Oh, I'm going to have her on the air on next week sometime.
Excellent. It's opening 8 o'clock, runs through most of July at the Lodge of Santa Fe, 750 North St. Francis Drive, 988-1234. And what I know about it is that it is somewhat based on the work of Spanish painter Julio Romero de Torres, who used to paint very sensual women, and specifically one of his relationships with one of his models, La Chiquita Piconera, the little coal girl. So it's based on that, and it could be an interesting flamenco thing. Maria's not dancing this summer. I don't have all the specifics, but she's paying sort of tribute to some of her mentors and colleagues by letting them use the room. So this one opens on Thursday. Call the Lenzic, 988-1234. And finally, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Santa Fe Brewing Company, Reverend Payton's Big Damn Band, performing acoustic blues. There's a photo of them in the Pasta Temple. They look like a fun group on page 89, particularly like the lady with the washboard over her bosom. She's got a little, what do you call those things you clang at the bottom, a cymbal? What do you call those?
A cymbal.
Anyway, they're playing at 8 o'clock. I open myself up to these ladies and gentlemen. I've come to the concussion that it's not her at all.
It isn't.
You pay at the door, 988-1234. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this Saturday at 10 o'clock right here on KSFR, the CIA returns to Camp Lovewave.
Oh,
former
boy.
CIA officers come to discuss the government lies about 9/11 and take calls answering questions. That's right here on KSFR. Hey, by the way, we've been simulcasting on two frequencies, 90.7 FM and 101.1 FM.
You've been on two channels at once.
We've been on two channels at once for quite some time. Yeah, the KSFR.
Like I can't switch over and see a different episode of Green Acres like
I can
on...
Well, you can't see it at
TV
all.
TV Land and...
Because it's radio, but you can hear the same thing. Well, that is coming to an end, I believe, this weekend. So we're only going to be on 101.1. If anybody, I've heard some reports that some people are having trouble getting 101.1. If that is the case, please write to us at info@ksfr.org and tell us the nature of the problem you're having. We want people to be able to continue to listen without a break if that's what they want to do. So info@ksfr.org.
You know how much I've come to really admire this station, particularly since I've come on as a volunteer? It's really grown so much since the early 90s when I used to do radio theater with it. And I mean, no disrespect for anybody that was around then, because I was stumbling through it too. But KSFR has really turned into this terrific community, thoughtful, trying to make a difference radio station. And I just love the variety of programming. And I just, even your show, you're making me tune in more and
even
more.
Even my show.
Even you. Oh. And I don't just listen on Fridays anymore, which is hard for me to do because I'm on the show.
You don't just listen on Fridays to yourself talk.
No. But I listen on the way over driving in my Jeep, and that's why I heard that woman be rude to you last week, and that's why I heard Israel Horovitz be very pleasant and polite.
He's
with your questions.
He's a terrific playwright.
I know.
I love his
And he's a very nice guy when you chat with him. He's really great.
I'm going tomorrow at 2 o'clock
Me
and
too.
Then going to the... We're doing all the same things.
I can't help it. I'm seeing Mike Daisy, Israel Horovitz, Figaro.
That's what I'm doing.
And on Sunday, I'm
you
going over to my friend's house.
You
I'm not
going
to tell
you
their names.
You would think we would know each other.
And... We do know each other, but not in the, you know, traditional sense. Anyway, on Sunday...
It's a good thing she started the music just then.
I'm going to watch cowboy movies at my friend's house. Go ahead, you do this goodbye, and I'll say goodbye later.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio
Cafe. I know that. I'm here.
My name is Mary Charlotte.
I know that, too.
KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org by email or leave a phone message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes, and the running commentary by Robert Knott makes me wonder why anybody could possibly say that I'm the one who gives him a hard time. Stay tuned for the BBC News, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la
Carta. We're on the Plaza next Friday, right?
We are on the Plaza on the 4th of July.
Oh, boy, pancakes. I'm going to sing America the Beautiful.
Excellent. You can.
And God Bless America.
We can sing all of those things. We can even sing dog songs.
And a Leslie Gore tune.
Although we probably won't. And my wonderful...
What time am I meeting you there?
We'll talk about that.
Oh, I interrupted your podcast.
And my wonderful aunt is here visiting, and we're going
Annie.
To the opera together, and life is good. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Be happy.
I'm
be
gonna.
Peaceful.
I
wear
will.
Your seatbelt. Drive.
So hardly ever.
Love your dogs.
Oh, thank you.
Love your parents.
What about love me?
And love Robert Knott. Adios.